Rosemary Martorana, Director of Intelligence here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and you're listening to Intelligence Unclassified. This podcast is exactly what the title states, unclassified information about current trends in homeland security for the state of New Jersey, as well as educational information and resources for your awareness. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Intelligence Unclassified. My name is Jenna Raymond. I'm an intel analyst here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Today, I'm here with two of my fellow colleagues. I'm here with Alyssa Potter, who's our resident conspiracy theorist.
Hello, everyone.
And we're also here with Angie Gadd, who is an analyst by day, and later you'll be able to tell by the speed at which she is speaking. At night, she earns some extra cash as an auctioneer. This episode is actually going to revolve around what we can expect with the upcoming 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Last year, on September 9th, we had three different media and propaganda releases, one from Al-Qaeda Central, one from Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, and then one from the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS. So first, we just want to give a little background on what we actually saw in those. It was two magazines and an audio message, what those messages contained. And then this year, instead of sort of doing something after the fact, we thought we'd do it before and maybe look a little bit at what we can expect to see from these groups on or around the anniversary of 9/11. Alyssa Potter, would you like to talk about Al-Qaeda and the Arabian Peninsula first?
Sure. Okay. So last year, AQAP came out with an Inspire 14. And that was released a couple of days before 9/11. Since the inception of AQAP and Inspire magazine in 2010, they've always traditionally put out a big pre-9/11 issue praising the 9/11 attacks, tributes to Osama bin Laden, and thereafter tributes to al-Awlaki and other notable AQAP leaders. This year, we're going to expect to see some kind of big AQAP 15th anniversary of 9/11 issue from them. The last issue we saw of Inspire magazine, the full release, came out in May of this year. And since then, we've seen two shorter Inspire guides. They came out in June and July following the Orlando attacks and the attacks in Nice, France. So we've seen those two things recently from them, in addition to the full Inspire magazine. And we've also seen a video release from them last month, giving kind of like an overview of what they've been doing. So a training guide and letting everyone know that they're still plotting, planning, and training within Yemen for attacks and calling out America for the increased drone attacks that have happened in Yemen against AQAP specifically.
And I think what was interesting, because all three of these messages were released on the same day, September 9th, and I didn't see any, you know, reporting indicating that Al-Qaeda Central and AQAP had coordinated, but I'm sure they did. I'm sure that that was a coordinated, hey, let's both release these on the same day. Do you think that's...
Yes, probably. I think they wanted to release them very close together, so there was some coordinated effort between the two, and obviously they wanted to put it out a couple of days before 9/11, not on 9/11, to kind of like stir it up and give some kind of excitement to not before 9/11.
Mm-hmm. And I think also, at least from AQ Central, they were expecting something from ISIS.
Yeah, so... Same day as well that AQAP released the Inspire magazine, ISIS also released it. So Alyssa, you and I were at a conference together, yes. And we both, our phones were blowing up notifications, and it was kind of like jihadi Christmas. They had Inspire was released, and we're like, oh, Inspire was released, and then, oh, Dabiq was released. And we had them both come on the same day, 2 days prior to 9/11, within, I believe, a couple hours of each other. Yeah. So same thing, I mean, ISIS released Dabiq. They also released a video vowing to repeat the September 11th attack. So, I mean, we've seen ISIS do this all the time with hollow threats, constantly threatening for something. So they said we're going to send cars full of explosives and suicide bombers. They quoted Osama bin Laden. And they also threatened a cyber hacking attack as well around September 11th. But we never saw anything of that nature actually transpire.
I think looking at it, AQAP and ISIS both released their magazines. And then AQ Central released an audio message. It was titled as Episode 1 of the Islamic Spring series. So we knew that there were going to be further audio messages, but this one released on September 9th, I think, because AQAP kind of stuck with the same things that they usually talk about in the magazine.
Standard format.
Zawahiri, in this audio message, he was attacking ISIS. Almost 50% of the message was either just general criticism of ISIS, calling the caliphate illegitimate, attacking Baghdadi. You know, he talked about things ISIS trying to get other groups to defect from Al-Qaeda. So he was really attacking ISIS. So it was almost 50% of that message. And then he actually only mentioned targeting the United States one time, which was actually 1/3 of 1% of that message. And he only mentioned September 11th one time. So his message was really just to attack ISIS and criticize them as much as possible. I think this year we'll have messages or some kind of propaganda from AQ Central, AQAP, and ISIS.
Yeah.
I think we're all agreed on that.
Yeah.
From AQ Central, I think, I mean, the default would be to have some kind of message from Zawahiri. However, I think Alyssa and I have talked about this a little bit. In the past year, we've heard from Hamza bin Laden, one of Osama bin Laden's sons. You know, he's in his mid-20s about now, early to mid-20s. And we've had some audio messages from him. I mean, it would be in Al-Qaeda's best interest to sort of trot him out and build the case for some kind of bin Laden legacy, you know, sort of set him up to be a future leader, you know, not immediately, but maybe in 5 or 10 years. I think we're certainly going to see something from Al-Qaeda Central, maybe from Zawahiri, but
definitely we're going to see Hamza bin Laden. Especially since it's the 15th anniversary, so we're kind of going to see Osama bin Laden and then kind of like the full circle.
Yeah, next generation.
Exactly.
I wonder if they'll release a picture.
Yes, nobody's seen him since he was a small boy, so we've heard from him, but we haven't actually seen him, so it will be interesting to see if they come out with some kind of photo or if it's an audio message or what they're
going
to come out with.
If they did like a video, that would be pretty big.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen, the last picture I've seen of him, I think he was maybe 10, 11.
Right.
So I think if they did do a video with him, or even just releasing a photo, it's sort of an indicator of, like, yes, they want him to be involved, and he'll probably be in some sort of important position, you know, in the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
What do you think we're going to see from AQAP?
We've heard from El Asiri, the chief bomb maker for AQAP, who we know is still alive. We could hear from him. We have heard from him once this year, which is very rare. So he could come out and make a statement. We haven't traditionally heard from Al-Rimi, who is the head of AQAP. Have not heard from him much at all this year. It's been almost a year. Well, June, it was a year since he took over for Wahishi. So we know that it's possible that he could come out and say something as well, or have a statement in the magazine.
What do you think we're going to see from ISIS?
So for ISIS, again, I mean, I don't really think they ever give up an opportunity to push out any kind of messaging or propaganda. I think for 9/11, again, we're going to see them use it as a megaphone to kind of amplify. And
that was good.
Yeah.
Use it as a megaphone. I
like that. Yeah, just spread. I mean, they're going to do the same, recycle the same rhetoric again, increase call for attacks. They're going to threaten for attacks targeting specific cities, which is kind of what they did last year. Last year in Dabiq, they kind of mentioned targeting Shia communities and specific cities in the United States. There may be an audio statement by their spokesman, Abu Muhammad al-Adnani. However, I'm not quite sure. I don't think the statement was not released last year, but seeing as this is the 15th anniversary and it's a bigger deal, they may put something out.
You just heard Angie mention Abu Muhammad al-Adnani. He was the group's spokesman and he was responsible for external operations. And really, he was the second in command. He's one of the original and longest-serving members, and he was from ISIS's old guard. On August 30th, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria announced that al-Adnani was allegedly killed in Aleppo, and then they, of course, issued a statement celebrating him as a martyr. The United States has confirmed that they conducted an airstrike targeting Adnani, but they are still assessing the results and have not yet confirmed his death. If he has indeed been killed, it doesn't necessarily mean that ISIS is now in a tough position. They almost certainly have replacements waiting in the wings. ISIS's priorities regarding attacks in the West will stay constant regardless of Adnani's status. Any messaging ISIS planned to coincide with the anniversary of September 11th will likely proceed as planned. but we may see some additional memorials and eulogies for Adnani. ISIS can certainly leverage his death for propaganda purposes if they choose to do so.
I'm sure there will be a Twitter campaign by ISIS supporters or on Telegram. There will be some kind of campaign going on there that they're going to try to push out the message or start some kind of Twitter trend, a hashtag trend. So with that, we'll see. I'm not sure if they will release Dabiq magazine since they just released one this month. It's not common for them to release one every month. So they will probably push out propaganda within their Arabic language magazines, within on their like radio broadcasts that they have locally in Iraq and Syria. There may be more attacks in Europe around the anniversary, leading up to the anniversary. It's also important to mention that the second biggest Muslim holiday, Eid al-Adha, or the Festival of Sacrifice, will fall on or around September 11th. So that's a big thing. So they may kind of push those two together to kind of...
Do you think it'll be like during Ramadan sometimes when they urge people, you know, to act on ISIS's behalf? Will they do that with Eid?
I'm not sure. I mean, with Ramadan, it's like the holy month, and they try to twist it in the opposite way and kind of try to have people carry out attacks. I'm sure they'll be creative and inventive enough to twist that and push out a call for attacks for the Eid. So we'll have to kind of wait and see how they're going to be, you know, scrappy with this one.
You mentioned something about, you know, like maybe we'll see or they'll push for some kind of attack. So, you know, we just talked about what we're going to hear on 9/11. I think now it would be appropriate to talk about what we might see on 9/11 in terms of, you know, any kind of attack or attempted attack. I don't think we're going to see anything directly from groups. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I agree, Jenna. I think definitely more HVEs, homegrown violent extremists, ISIS supporters in Europe, maybe some individuals that are tied to the organization. I mean, ISIS has been able to carry out lots of attacks recently, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's something maybe brewing right now for the anniversary.
I don't know. I just think these groups are, I mean, they're professional at what they do. I think they know that, you know, if you're in the United States on 9/11 or in, you know, sort of the week surrounding 9/11, if you're in any kind of public area, public transportation, you're going to see a surge of law enforcement presence. So I think these groups are professional enough to know that trying to do some kind of attack on 9/11 just isn't in their best interest because they're more likely to be caught. But like you mentioned...
Or is it? Because if they are able to successfully conduct an attack on 9/11... how much better would that look for
them? It is. It's high risk, high reward for
them. Exactly.
No one's been able to do it for 15 years.
But like you mentioned, homegrown violent extremists, because they're not connected to the group, they're acting on their own and they're simply inspired by one group, sometimes the rhetoric of several groups. To them, that anniversary might seem like a big deal.
So that would be like the ultimate tribute to one of these groups would be for an HVE to carry out something actually on the holiday or at a gathering commemorating that anniversary.
Yeah. This year, 9/11 is on a Sunday. So, I mean, if weekend targets are different than weekday targets, so we're always looking at soft targets. So on a Sunday, that's going to be things like, obviously, religious institutions, malls, different fairs and festivals. There could be, you know, different 9/11 memorials. So...
it's still in the summertime, technically, so there are a lot of festivals, particularly at beaches and boardwalks, which, again, we just saw in Nice on Bastille Day. That's obviously an attractive time to plan something like this. Yeah. And these festivals happen every year, same time, same places, and it would be very... easy for an HVE to carry something out if that was their intention.
Especially AQAP has specifically said to people, you know, attack groups of people, not buildings, and attack where there's a lot of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that those kind of soft targets, you know, fulfill those two requirements.
Jenna, I think you mentioned something that's really interesting when you were talking about HVEs, and I think that even if it's an ISIS supporter, an ISIS HVE, whether in the United States or in Europe, even if they manage to conduct an attack, even though 9/11 was carried out by Al-Qaeda, an ISIS supporter manages to conduct that attack. I mean, it doesn't really matter to the supporters on the ground whether they're reading Al-Qaeda or AQAP propaganda or they're looking at ISIS propaganda. If they conduct an attack and pledge allegiance to ISIS on the anniversary of 9/11, it doesn't matter to the people on the ground. So
they're both going to claim it as a success.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took a look at some of our data about homegrown violent extremists in 2016. And so far we've had 23 incidents. And when I say incidents, I mean arrests and attacks. So I broke it down by month. In January, we had 7 incidents, which was, you know, coming on the heels of the Paris attacks. And then in February, we went down to 2. You know, nothing in March and April. 1 in May. 3 in June, which included the attack at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, Florida. And then 8 in July, so it jumped way back up. And then so far, we're recording this the first week in August. We've had 2 incidents so far. So if we just look at, you know, January, you know, we're up at 7 following the attacks in Paris. And then in June, after the attack in Orlando, we jumped up to 8. And I think that's a pretty clear indication that the FBI, with all of their partner law enforcement agencies, after an attack, they're trying to really, you know, wrap up any open cases they have. If they can charge something with something they think will stick, they're going to do it. And so I think in the run-up to the 15-year anniversary, in the rest of August and September, we're probably going to see, not necessarily attacks, but just arrests of people who were maybe trying to travel to Syria to join ISIS, or trying to plot some kind of attack here. So we'll probably see a few more arrests between now and 9/11.
Yeah, we have a little bit of time, so I would guess as well.
I think so. It's sort of, you know, law enforcement sending a signal to anyone who is an HVE. We're on top of these cases. If you're plotting something, we know about it. We're coming for you. And it's, you know, hopefully it'll act as a deterrent for some people.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we're recording this
August
9th. So people, you might not be able to listen to it till maybe the end of August, first week of September. So hopefully a few of the things that we said, you know, actually make sense with what's going on in the, you know, current context of everything.
So Jenna, I'd like to remind you that I wasn't an auctioneer during the podcast.
No, you were actually speaking at a normal tempo.
Like a normal person?
But it's probably because I've been reminding you constantly for the last week.
She's been hitting me the entire time.
There's been no physical violence.
It was very good.
I've just been reminding you that you talk very quickly, which is fine. I can hang on to it. But when people have to just listen and they can't see you, it gets harder.
Agreed.
So I feel like at the beginning, I kind of threw you under the bus. That wasn't appropriate. I publicly apologize to Angie Gadd.
I publicly accept.
So thanks for listening to Intelligence Unclassified again.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.